No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I'm here with my man, Sugar Sean. But yeah, that's definitely part of it.
Dude, yeah. Well, yeah. Having a reason to lose weight is such an important thing.
Mm.
Whether it's obviously for a fight or just picking up chicks. Those are the two.
Yeah. No, I had a Penthouse cover shoot at one point, and I was like, holy fuck. Like, I have to be on the cover of Penthouse with my girl in like 3 months.
Mm.
Never been more strict with my diet of just realizing, like, I might have to actually be immortalized on a magazine cover as a fat fuck.
Dude, did you get jacked?
I went hard.
Or slimmed down?
Definitely lost a lot of weight. You know, kept the muscle density decent.
How old's your baby?
8 months.
Dude, me too. What,
really?
What, yeah. How, what,
November 14th.
Oh, damn. Mine was November 3rd. That's crazy. That is crazy. Little girl?
That is pretty
crazy, yeah. Dude, how crazy is that?
Amazing.
Your first?
Yeah.
Dude, it's a fucking trip. Feels like a constant long mushroom trip. Like, every day they just get bigger and fucking the teeth and just fucking... Isn't that
how
weird?
Many teeth you got on yours?
She's got two little ones popping up. Yeah.
In the bottom?
Yeah.
Me too. Exact same.
When they smile and they show the teeth, dude, that just... does something to you.
Yeah.
It's just like weird.
You know what's crazy is just how, you know, you walk into the room and you haven't seen them for a couple mm-hmm. hours and their reaction.
Dude.
And it keeps getting better and better as
I'm,
they
like,
get older.
It's crazy, dude. Holy. Because I went to Miami.
For the fight.
No,
oh, actually, no.
No, yeah.
After
the fight. So I fought in Vegas, then I went was home for a week, and then I went to Miami for like 4 days. And then I got home and saw her, and I just fucking lost it. It was crazy. I was like, it was just such a weird feeling. Because Danny, my girl, was sending me snaps of her every morning at night and shit. And he was like, I want to squeeze her. And then I saw her, and I just fucking, it was crazy.
Fuck.
It's a weird thing. Because
you're like
dude.
Not used to having something that just so readily makes you emotional as fuck.
Just so attached.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost scary.
What's the longest you've been away from her because of, you know, camp and shit like that?
I do camp at home in Arizona. Okay. I live in Peoria, Arizona, which is like in...
Yeah, yeah.
It's far enough away from fucking Scottsdale, Phoenix. I don't fuck around down there because, dude, that shit, there's too many chicks. I can't fuck around. I can't surround myself with too many girls. I lose focus, distraction. I don't have enough self-discipline around that.
Mm.
So I live in Peoria. It's out the way. When I'm in camp, I'm with the family pretty much the whole time. But when I went for fight camp, we leave Tuesday for Vegas, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I see her Sunday. So five days.
It's not bad.
It's not bad, and it's. I'm there for business, work. I'm in a different mindset. Fight week. I'm ready to fucking kill someone, you know. So it's, I'm okay being away from Danny and being away from the feminine energy.
Yeah.
I like being with the boys, being ready with, you know, with my. These dudes have fought before. They've competed before. It's just in a different mindset. So the fight week's not too hard being away from her, but like when I was in Miami, partying, I'm like, you have that little guilty, like, fuck.
Mm.
I should be home, but I'm home 98% of the time. So
right,
but yeah, what's the longest you've been away?
Fuck, I don't even know if it's been more than like a day or two
yeah.
at this point. Yeah, I got some like week long trips planned coming up, but I haven't really had to do a long stretch.
It's tough. It's tough. It's just because I change so much fucking right now. It's such a trip.
Definitely. It really makes me think about like how many people have jobs where they have to be away for months at a time and just how fucking difficult that must be.
Especially for the mom. Like, Elena breastfeeds still, so she's just so attached to Danny.
Mm.
Like, Danny can't fucking leave for a day at all. Like, she's just
my girl went to Miami for her friend's bachelorette party, and she was gone for like 2.5 days. And yeah, like, it was...
Did you have
intense.
Some help?
Yeah, I was like dropping off her aunt's house and yeah. shit. I mean, I don't really,
to.
I don't really trust myself to be that in the zone for that long.
Yeah.
For you
dude,
know, this early on,
you need help. You need help, 100%. Especially that little dude.
Yeah,
it freaks you out too. They choke on their own spit. You're like, you good? You good? Fuck.
Yeah, my kid right now will eat a handful of dirt. Like,
oh, yeah.
whenever. So just reach into the pot and just eat dirt.
Dude,
and
seriously.
It's like, I know she doesn't like it, but it's really weird to me. She keeps doing it because, like, the foods that she doesn't like, she just doesn't really want to eat them. But somehow the dirt, which
still
gets
in there.
I know it doesn't taste good, but she keeps doing it.
Yeah, babies are, they're a trip. So it's fun to just watch them.
What had to happen in your life to make you feel like you were ready to be a dad, especially just given the nature of your career? It feels like it's been like really blowing up. There's probably been a lot of times where it didn't feel like a sure thing. Like how secure did you have to feel before you were ready?
Dude, so Elena was definitely an accident. I wanted kids eventually. Like I wanted kids since like 14. Like I knew I wanted to be a dad 100%.
Right.
Danny, when I met her, we've been together for 7-8 years. She didn't want kids. And then slowly over the years, she's like, yeah, I could see us having a kid. Elena was a complete accident, dude. But the craziest thing of it all is, like, I swear to God, I don't really believe in God, like a certain religion or whatever. But, dude, the universe had me have a baby to keep me disciplined, to keep me fucking grounded. Because it's too fun to party, dude. I don't party that often. But when I go out, I'm like, holy shit, I can see how people get lost in this world. And for me, like, I was in Miami. They're like, let's go to Cancun Monday. I'm like, dude, my flight's Sunday back home. I gotta go. I have a baby. I gotta go home.
And you're around all these rich people all of a sudden who don't have anything holding them back to the real world. There's no work on Monday.
Exactly. So having a baby, I it was the craziest thing. Like, I don't remember busting in her. It had to have been, like, pre-cum because I didn't bust it. I've been pulling out for years.
Yeah.
So, dude, having a baby was a fucking accident, but it was literally something bigger. Like, she was meant to be to keep me disciplined, to keep me on the right path.
Definitely.
Because partying is too fucking fun, dude. Especially if, like, I've been grinding for 10. I'm 26 right now. I started training when I was 16. And the professional fighter lifestyle, I lived that lifestyle even when I was an amateur. It's just go to the gym, train,
you
come
that,
home.
But you always felt like you knew this was, like, a sure thing, like this had to happen, or at the least you were gonna give it your all until you got
blown
as close
up,
as
or
possible.
Just like get,
yeah,
making
like
it,
just really making it to the UFC and just really being something.
Yeah, I wanted to be a performer. Like, dude, when I was in middle school, I was like, I want to be in the NFL or NBA. I'm from Helena, Montana. It's fucking tiny. I'm like, okay, I didn't realize that wasn't realistic until I realized fucking guys in the NFL, NBA are 6'8" and like I was not, that wasn't realistic after a while. I wanted to be a performer, can't fucking rap, even though all the chicks are like, so you're a rapper? I'm like, no, I fight. And they're like, what the fuck? Then no chicks know who the fuck I am ever. And in Miami, we're out and they all thought I was a rapper. I was like, well, fuck, we'll go with it.
It seems like so weird as a UFC fighter because it's like everybody, like a very large percentage of people watch MMA, but then it takes so much to make them really remember one fighter in particular. But you've had a bunch of those moments where everybody was paying attention to you. So you get famous or more famous in these waves of blowing up every 6 months or 3 months or however long it is, right?
Each fight, each fight I blow up a little bit more. I knew, like when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, like I knew I was going to make it. I had this feeling that I was going to make it, whatever making it is, having money. Originally got into fighting because I wanted chicks. That's what it came down. I was insecure and I thought fighting would make me get chicks. So I kind of, that's originally the reason I started fighting. And then training, what motivated me was money, chicks. Like, that was what motivated me. Now we're there and I'm like, fuck, I have that, but that shit's a distraction. And it's a dangerous game to play. But I do a good job of, I can party after my fights for a certain amount of weeks, couple weeks, whatever. I'll fight 3 times a year. Like right now, I'll probably fight in December. And then I got a couple things planned where I'll party for a little bit. But for the most part, I got it on lock where I live such a disciplined life that I can afford to go out and do that a couple times a year.
Did you see that Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance?
Fuck.
You're Dennis Rodman?
Dude. Like,
taking a break from the season to go party in Vegas and shit?
Fucking take a flight in on fight night. No, yeah, that shit was crazy, though.
Do you kind of relate to that, though? Like, feel like you need to release? You couldn't just be a warrior just trapped in the gym every day over and over without turning up a little bit?
God, I feel like I could just completely avoid partying and just, it's after fights that I want, just because those training camps are so long and so disciplined for 2 months, 8 weeks, pure discipline, diet, sleep. Like, dude, no one does training camp like me as far as, I sleep. I'm trying to master my sleep. I try to master recovery. I cold plunge every night, stretch every night, do everything right, not overtrain. I surround myself with, you know, the best strength and conditioning coach, the best jiu-jitsu player, the best, like my team is so solid, and it's just such a disciplined 2 months that I almost tell myself I need to go out and have fun. Sometimes I don't even want to, but I just like, I feel like I'm pulled in. I gotta do it. I gotta experience it. And then when I do, then it's like, oh, I don't want to go back to the discipline. So it's always just a balance of fucking knowing what I need to do and what I want, and I gotta do what I need.
Because I always imagine that to be competitive in the UFC that you pretty much have to just be like a total warrior all the time. And when I was listening to you with Theo Vaughn, you were talking about how after weigh-ins you'll see dudes just like going to the buffet and eating French toast before the fight. And I'm like, oh, okay, so there's a bunch of dudes who kind of are fucking around.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and those guys will never be champ for the most part. I mean, there's rare people that can eat like shit and not take it 100% serious. But for the most part, if you want to be world champ, which obviously that's the main goal. I want to get the belt at 135, move up to 145. I want to be a legend in the sport. And you got to fucking be disciplined, dude. And it's funny, I'll train 2 months in a row and then go out one night and like people are like, you need to fucking start training. What are you doing partying? It's funny. I don't really read too many comments and stuff, but that shit is funny that people... If you just look at my Instagram, it doesn't look like I fucking trained that much. But I'm in the gym all the time getting better.
Yeah, it's kind of like when girls are like getting plastic surgery and they feel like they got to put that on Instagram. It's like, you could just show us the final product. I think it's dope to show up at the fight, beat the fuck out of someone, and they're not thinking that you're just this warrior 24/7 before that.
100%.
I respect that. Were you beating the shit out of people before you got into MMA? Like, how many fist fights were you getting into as a kid and stuff? Was that something you were drawn to?
Not really. I was like a pretty small kid, 15, 16 years old, super fucking insecure. Go to high school, like, just worried about getting picked on from an older whoever. I wasn't super confrontational. I didn't want to be in fights because I felt like I'd get my ass whooped. So I didn't really get in any street fights. And then when I started kickboxing, I was naturally pretty good because I played basketball, football, soccer, baseball. So I was an athlete since I was fucking 3-4 years old playing any sports, t-ball, whatever the fuck it was. I just became a really good athlete doing all those different sports. So when I went in kickbox, we didn't really have in Helena, there's not a high-level coach. You can't get really, really good in Montana. There's not a good enough gym. So we were sparring. You throw on gloves and sparring. I was beating just pretty much everyone up. I was kind of the man at the gym eventually. And that's when I moved to Arizona, and then I was just the worst dude at the gym. Like I thought I was the fucking man, and I came to Arizona, and it was the bottom, like the worst dude, and it was fucking, it was like a shock. Like, what the fuck? There's levels.
Yeah.
But I for whatever reason, I just fucking, I was like, okay, I can learn what these guys are doing, why I'm losing, and I'm a better athlete that I could eventually beat them. And then eventually we started beating a couple guys and fucking just, I mean, now we're at the level where that, you know, I train with such high level people that it's always going to be competition. I'm not going to go into the gym and be the top dog.
Right.
Some days you are, some days you're not, but that's where you need to be. But
were you getting frustrated during those times? Like, was there ever times where you felt like maybe I just really am not this dude?
Dude, 100%, a lot. The first time I went to Arizona, I stayed for 7 days. I flew down, I think it was like 7-8 days, whatever it was. And it was fucking, every single practice, I would leave crying. I was 18 years old, complete ego just shattered. Because I thought I was the man. Come down every single practice, whether it was wrestling, get just shit on. I've never wrestled in my life until I moved there. Even kickboxing, I'm like, damn, there's guys that can hit me. I've never really been hit. So after every practice, it hurt. I was like, fuck, dude. Maybe this ain't for me, but... what the fuck else am I going to do? I wasn't going to go to school. I wasn't going to go to college. I knew that in like third grade. I was like, what the fuck?
Right.
Fuck school. Knew I wasn't going to go to there. Had no other plans. And I was like, I enjoy training. And I don't remember when I was like, damn, I could make it fighting. But yeah, I knew I wasn't going to do anything else.
Right.
And I think Connor was kind of blowing up at this point. So I was like, damn, this motherfucker's like fun to watch. He's an entertainer. It's more than just fighting. That's what I was just so, I was like, damn, this is more than fighting. The press conferences were fun. I would listen to all of his interviews and just be entertained by him talking.
Right.
And I just fucking thought it was so sweet that he's an entertainer outside the octagon. That just that really inspired me. Like, damn, like I can do more than just fight and create all these other businesses.
Right. You know, when I was watching a bunch of your fights getting ready for this, I was thinking about the first thing that I saw that made me actually get like really excited about MMA. And it was like a commercial for UFC, and it was just Brock Lesnar beating the fuck out of Frank Mir. And I just like, I already like kind of knew who Frank Mir was for some reason. And I just saw him like, they're like up against the fucking fence, and he's just go, 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 go. Like he just hits him with these tiny little punches and knocks him out. And I was just
his hands were like that big.
Yeah. And I just had to fucking like go and like download every UFC fight and like actually figure out what the fuck, like how this guy came to like be. I'm like, this guy's a wrestler. Dude. And then that just like set me off where all of a sudden I had like a year where I started doing jiu-jitsu and MMA shit. Damn. And like, and just like watching fights constantly. And then at some point I just kind of got out of it, anything besides watching it.
Right.
But like, do you have like a version of that where you first saw the UFC and thought, this is what I need to be a part of?
That's funny because the first time I saw UFC, I was 13, 14 years old. My dad was watching it and I thought it was the most, I was like, what the, how are you watching that? I remember
how is this legal?
Dude, I remember watching people get kicked in the stomachs and thinking like, how does that not break? Like, how does that not break your ribs? Like, how does that not fucking,
right.
How do they just take that? And it was the most disgusting thing. I couldn't watch it. Yeah, and that was like, fuck, I'm trying to think. It was Chuck versus Tito. I think it was, I remember watching Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber. Like, those are the people that I remember watching first. It's crazy because I could fight, you know, Dominic Cruz is a potential matchup for me, whether it's my next fight or next fight, whenever it is. It's crazy to think because I remember watching him so long ago before I even started fighting. And now I get to beat him up eventually. It's crazy.
Right. Damn, you just reminded me even more that one time around that time, I met this girl and she was a fucking big UFC fan and Uriah Faber was fighting and she wanted to go watch him. And then after that, we went back to my house and she told me that she had herpes, but then she gave me head anyway.
Damn. So what does that mean?
I mean, so I didn't get herpes, so I felt pretty good about it. But, you know, I mean, it was just like a fun memory. I haven't thought about that girl in like 10 years.
God damn.
Damn.
Dude, but yeah, girls are a fucking distraction, aren't they?
How would you rate the way that women react to you as a fighter? Like,
they don't fucking know. It's like some do. The hardcore, there's some like hardcore girl UFC fans that fucking like know. I mean, even yesterday the other day we were at the mall, and this chick was married and she wasn't like attractive at all, but she was freaking out. Her husband came up to me and she said, "Hey, can my wife get a pic?" She was going like this, just breathe, just like shaking, like couldn't believe it. But she had probably only seen me like in the cage looking like a fucking character,
right?
Because that's what we look like when we're in the cage, the fucking 4K camera, like colorful tattoos, my hair, like, you just look like a character in a fucking video game or a movie. So she was tripping out. But yeah, most girls seriously don't fucking, they have no idea.
I feel like once they get accustomed to it, then they get it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm sure like you in the club right after the UFC fight is a different experience than like you at the club at a random time far away from that.
100%. No, like in Vegas, right after the fight, we went out and everyone knew the fights just happened. They knew I just beat that dude up.
Right.
And they definitely knew then. But yeah, I mean, in Miami, it was for the most part, "So you're a rapper." It was fucking funny. Right. Like,
but,
I wish.
But every fight that you get, do you just feel like more and more, does it feel like you have more and more pressure, or do you feel more and more confident that you're going to be the champion after every fight? Because it feels like this most recent one was just another huge boost in terms of your clout in this whole thing.
Yeah, dude. It's the more fucking people watching, the brighter those fucking lights, the better I'm performing, dude. I fucking eat that stuff up. I fought 3 fights in a row, no crowd. I didn't have a problem performing with no crowd because I still, it's a mission. I got to go in there. I'm training, I'm preparing for 8 weeks and I know what I need to do. But dude, when like last fight, T-Mobile Arena, 20,000 people sold out,
that
walking out.
Really motivated
dude,
you?
Dude, it's just fucking, it's a different, it's a drug that you can't replicate, dude. It's such a fucking high.
Yeah,
so sweet.
Like those moments, like you knocking the dude, was it Eddie with the mustache?
Yeah, yeah.
You knocking him out and having there be nobody to cheer,
it was sad.
But it's like, it's such epic footage in a way. You really get to hear his head bounce off the fucking ground.
Yeah, and you can hear him snoring after.
To his credit, he seemed totally fine like 2 minutes later.
Like, I'm good, nice shot. I'm
like, wow, this guy must be really fucking used to this,
dude. But the thing about concussions, it's fucking, have you had a concussion?
Yes,
dude. They're the worst. Fucking
the worst.
Some people get them worse than others, but I've had a couple concussions where I have to be in a room, lights off, completely dark, can't look at your phone, can't look at TV, any sound hurts for days, dude. And you're just it's the worst fucking feeling.
Like in training, or are you like talking after fights?
I've had it. I haven't had my contender series fight. I don't know if you're familiar with
the one with Snoop Dogg announcing
Snoop
and shit.
Crazy. Yeah. Dude, that was the worst training camp I had ever in my life. I got concussed like 2-3 weeks before that fight, And I was wake up in the middle of the night puking, like just from getting hit hard and sparring.
2 or 3 weeks before it.
Dude, and I walked into the cage at 138 pounds, which is, so I weighed in at 136, and then I walked in at 138, which is fucking insane. Like my last fight, I probably was 153, 154, walking into the cage. But I couldn't eat. My head hurt. It was a shitty camp. And then for me to go out there and knock that guy out the way I did, I was like, what the fuck? Like, something's,
that's gonna be an even bigger boost of confidence.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not the best version of myself, and dude, I still got this done.
I'm like, I can go perform like that, feeling like that. In my every single fight, well, no, my last four fights, dude, been going into the octagon, no injuries, feeling just fucking good. And that's because I switched up a lot of things. I hired a nutritionist. I do like a stool sample, blood sample, urine sample, saliva sample. He looks at all my shit and fucking tells me what I need to be eating, what causes inflammation, what's going to help me perform the best. And then my strength and conditioning, his name is Dan Garner, and then my strength and conditioning coach, Brandon Harris. My last like five fights, I've had just like a solid fucking team. I go into the cage feeling like 100%, which is rare, dude. A lot of fighters don't go into the cage feeling good. I'd say 99% of the people that go in the cage they're dealing with something that's fucked up. Whether they just ate too much after weigh-ins and they got fucking diarrhea, or they fucking rolled their ankle 2 weeks before the fight and they haven't been able to run. Right. Just something. Every single fighter in there is probably dealing with something.
But when you were dealing with that concussion, did you think about canceling the fight? Like, how close were you to that decision? Because that's got to be like the most momentous decision for a fighter.
Yeah, and thinking back on that now, I don't remember ever thinking like I should reschedule. It was just such a huge opportunity. It was like season one of Dana White's Contender Series. I go out there and knock this guy out, or just win, I have a shot to get in the UFC. It's hard to get in the UFC. Like, it's not easy.
Oh yeah.
But I was so young. I don't remember ever thinking about pulling out. I don't remember exactly what I was thinking, but I was confident going in there, but I was like gassed the fuck out. Even in that first round, like that fight, there was a couple of seconds left in the round. I don't know how much longer, but I was gassed the fuck out. If we would have made it into the second, third round, I don't even know if I would have been able to stand up. Right. Just because I hadn't been able to train, the diet, everything was just so shit. But I don't ever remember thinking I should pull out. It was just too big of an opportunity.
It's just not in you.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, even now, like, if something really bad happened, now I have security, I have money, I would pull out. If it was bad enough to where I'm like, if it was like that, now I'd pull out. I don't want to go fight some top level dude and risk getting fucking more brain damage. Like, that's the number one thing I've learned. Like I said, I've been training for 10 years. I've had over 30 fights, so many fight camps. It's like, I got to take care of my brain. That's the number fucking one thing, especially having a baby now. Got a fucking family. I got to take care of my brain more than anything.
Yeah, man, I keep showing that Eddie knockout to people.
Beautiful.
Like people who are, you know, I'm like, I'm interviewing this fucking UFC dude, he's so sick, and they don't know what I'm talking about, so I just show them that fight because it's like a 30-second clip on YouTube, and it's so gnarly that it's just everybody gets the idea.
The whole sequence is so sick.
Just that little tiny feint.
Oh.
Okay, I was thinking, like, you couldn't have told someone you were going to do that 2 seconds before you did it, right? Like, you have this engraved in your brain, but like that, the opportunity where you knew that would be a good combo to throw, like that really kind of comes about completely unthinkingly.
Dude.
And that's something I find really fascinating.
Yeah, it's just literally, like, I feel like I have a really good, it's a skill you can build for letting go. Like, once I get in that cage, I'm fucking free, dude. And I think you can see that in my fights. I'm free. I'm flowing. I'm not thinking in there. I'm not, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? What just happened? Blah, blah. I'm not thinking at all. There's zero thoughts going through my mind. I'm literally just free, flowing, and fucking just whatever's happening is happening. I'm not thinking about what's happening. So, yeah, 2 seconds before that, I didn't know I was going to throw that. Looking back at that fight, I rewatched it a ton. I always rewatch all my fights. But I threw that same little combo at the beginning of the fight, and I barely missed him. Like, that same little combo. It just happens. It's fucking nuts.
Like, when you made your UFC debut, were you on edge a bit compared to how you feel now going into fights, where you have so much of a reason to feel confident going in?
Yeah, that's a good question. I remember going into my debut, I fought a kid named Terrion Ware. I definitely wasn't as confident as I am now because I've knocked out a good amount of people since then. Mm. But even in that fight leading up to it, I had knocked out a lot of people. Like, I just come off that Contender Series fight, so I just knocked that dude out. Right. I thought for sure I was going to knock this dude out. But for whatever reason, dude, I was eating a vegan diet for 6 months before that fight. I'm like, I might as well try it. I fucking watched some stupid-ass documentary on Netflix, and I'm like, I'm a vegan. And even saying it back now, I'm like, God, that fucking sounds stupid. But I ate a vegan diet, and even looking at my body in that fight, I wasn't muscular. I didn't have that pop. I didn't have enough power. But I was confident. But right now, I'm so, yeah, fucking super confident.
Right, yeah, how would you describe the negative side effects of the vegan thing? Which I am completely in the same position as you. Where I was vegan when I was like 18 for like 3-4 years, and this shit, my body just did not heal the same way.
Yeah, I think initially people are like, oh, I feel so good because they quit eating so much shit. Then after a couple of weeks, months, whatever, you're not getting the fucking protein and stuff you need and I don't know. I'm not a fucking expert in it, but I just don't think you get enough nutrients, and I'm sure you can supplement for it and all that. But I enjoy eating meat. I feel like it's fucking makes me feel way stronger, especially after lifting. Everyone's so different. Everyone's insides are so different. People fucking digest differently. But for me, eating meat's definitely I have to.
Yeah. No, I'm exactly the same.
They say it all the time. It drives me crazy.
I have some friends though who like their doctors have basically told them that they have to like eat dramatically less, you know, red meat and really most meats in general. And that scares me because I honestly have a hard time imagining getting like satisfied from eating without there being some kind of meat as the centerpiece of whatever I'm eating. You know, like I eat a fucking salad, but I'm like aiming for the pieces of chicken and then I get the vegetables around them in that one bite. Like that's the meal.
Yeah, dude, that would suck. I think the quality of meat too, there's just such shit. You can go to fucking McDonald's and get a nasty ass beef patty that's probably like 10% beef and fucking 90% fucking plastic.
Yeah.
Or you can go get some 100% grass fed beef and quality shit that'll your body will digest way better. So the quality of meat fucking affects that a lot.
You know what's one thing I really love about you as a fighter? Never celebrating. That is so badass, bro. Are you adding a little bit?
But the walk off, the Eddie one was so clean. The walk off, what was it? The walk off's clean. When you just fucking
That was the most gangster thing I've ever seen. What the fuck is wrong with this dude? He looks like a fucking killer.
Just like, nah, too easy. No, my new thing now is just a little jump shot. I did it the Thomas Almeida fight. Two fights ago, and then this last fight, hit a little jump shot. Suns were in the fucking chipper, lost. But just a little jump shot, fucking. But the walk-offs are clean. No celebration. They're clean.
I used to watch Fedor all the time. I don't know if you remember him, but he was like the greatest UFC or MMA fighter who never fought in the UFC, possibly.
Yep.
And that always, to me, like, when you talk about like character building, I was like, that the fact that he doesn't even put his fucking hands in the air just solidifies my mind with him being like a Russian sociopath, like murderer.
Dude,
like,
Russians.
It's crazy.
The Russians fucking taking over.
Yeah.
Like Khabib, Islam, the Makhachev, I think.
Right.
Like, these dude, the Russians are fucking gangsters. They're tough. They're always a tough fight. I want to fight the top dude in the division right now. He's number one right now, Peter Yan.
Yeah.
He's Russian. Dude, I want to fight Peter in Russia next year, 2022.
You want to be the bad guy?
I do, but I feel like I could spin it to where I feel like, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, but dude, Peter in Russia would be legendary.
Really?
It would be fucking legendary. Going to Russia would be kind of scary.
That's a tough culture in general. I went out there like maybe 10 years ago on this BMX trip. And I mean, honestly, it was great. But like, it is like a very, very like serious culture.
Dude, well, their religion, right, too? Muslims?
Are there a lot of Muslims in Russia? I don't know, maybe.
I don't know, dude.
I don't think they're allowed to have a fucking religion. Isn't Putin not really okay though?
Oh yeah,
I don't
Putin
know.
Just owns them, huh? That shit's crazy over there.
And they all hate him, but they can't say anything about it. Yeah.
Allegedly.
They're all terrified. Like they honestly, like, it's weird being in a place and they warned me before I went there. Like, if a girl's acting like she's really into you, don't believe it.
She's trying to get the fuck out.
They're all trying to get out of there. And you can't even imagine like a whole country where everybody wants to leave.
I'd get suckered right in. I'd be like, no, I think it's genuine. I think she likes me.
Yeah. No, I was kind of like that too. And then I met this girl and we were kicking it for weeks. And then we kept talking afterwards. And then at a certain point, I was like, what the fuck
am
I doing?
I want to smash some Russian biscuits. Have you?
Just that one, actually.
God, dude. Her accents are fucking... Russian would be my number one that I'd want to smash.
But the one thing I learned from her is that it's really, really pointless and stupid to be trying to date somebody who doesn't have mastery of the English language.
Yeah, just
underrated. You, like, it's
that
just
would
so
be fucking tough, dude.
Like, even like, say you meet a girl at the bar and she's kind of a dumbass and you're trying to talk to her. That's tough.
Yeah.
They like a lot of these girls have like a couple hundred words at their disposal. Like, we take it for granted that like what we're doing right now is actually like very, very difficult for 99% of people on earth. I don't know, probably way more than that speak English, but yeah.
Yeah, no, for real, that would be tough. Chick's not, I mean, it's hard enough to talk to a girl in English.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Russian.
For sure. Yeah, so like, I have to ask, like, when you were on your break, injury wise, how long actually were you injured and how hard was that for you to deal with mentally?
I was out. I fought March 7th, 2018, and then I fought March 3rd, 2020. Or no, I think it was March 3rd, and then I fought March 7th. So it was over 2 years. I had a Liz Frank surgery in my right foot when I fought Andre Soccer Mom at UFC 222. And my foot snapped with 3 minutes left in the fight. And the kid took me down like a idiot.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that was crazy. Like,
that was crazy.
Do you think that he just out of it enough?
I dropped him in the first round. I was fucking beating his ass for 12 minutes of the fight.
Yeah.
He was probably concussed. He was probably like, okay, I'm just getting pieced up. I don't think it hit me once.
Yeah, because you beat his ass so bad at one point that he couldn't even find his corner.
Yeah, just
like,
fucking stumbling around.
That was so funny.
So I think he was just concussed. And then he had the opportunity to take me down. Because in his mind, he's probably like, okay, I can't. I mean, even on one foot, I was fucking hopping, slapping him up. So he took me down. And then the fight ended up playing out. And the fucking doctor came in. He like squeezed the top of my foot where it snapped like a fucking idiot. But so that surgery was like a pretty major surgery. It used like it could potentially be a career ending surgery for some people. It's called Liz Frank. And that fucking thing took literally 2 years. It still fucking gives me problems or, like, it'll still hurt.
Really?
But, dude, that fucking surgery sucks so bad. The whole process of it sucked. Like, there's still scar tissue in there that I probably didn't get rubbed out enough through physical therapy that still fucks with me. And then I had a right labrum surgery in my hip, which had been torn for two fights. So my UFC debut and that fight where I broke my foot, my labrum had already been torn, which is, it depends how bad the tear is. You could have a small tear like I had and still be able to perform. But, dude, every time I ran, it just was the worst pain. But after that fight, it was torn enough to where I was like, okay, I need to get surgery. So I had, like, back-to-back surgeries.
Right.
And but after, I felt like a fucking new human. I was like, holy shit, it felt so much better.
Were you kind of, like, tormented during that time just thinking about, like, what if? What if this doesn't fucking work?
Yeah, a little bit. It was like, fuck. I was 20, what was that, 22 years? No. Yeah, 22 years old. So I was like, I'm so fucking young right now. I knew I'm gonna fight till I'm 35, 36. Like, that's the plan. So I was like, I still have a long fucking time.
Right.
But, dude, I literally would just listen to podcasts, like, just listen to podcasts, read, fucking journal, just try to keep my mind on the right path. Like, still, what do I got to do today that's going to help me? Just every day I got to do something that's going to benefit me, whether it was reading, journaling, because fucking when you're laid up with a boot on, you can't do much, can't drive anywhere. And also gaming.
Right.
Fucking Fortnite was popping up at that time. I was fucking, I could play Fortnite 8 hours a day, no problem at that time, hours. And I was streaming on Twitch.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm making a little bit of money. I wasn't popping on Twitch like I am right now compared to back then. But I was gaming. That helped a lot. Fuck, trying to just keep my mind right. But yeah, 2 years was a long fucking time, dude. Especially because when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, I was fighting 4 or 5 times a year. Like, always had something coming up. Always had that like, goal. I need to eat good for this. I need to do that. Like, I always had that. And then those 2 years, it was a fucking trip. But now looking back, I'm like, damn, that shit flew.
Yeah. Because when you talk about like starting businesses adjacent to the fighting thing, like did the Twitch stuff and the podcasting, was that stuff that like might not have come around if it wasn't for the fact that you had a bunch of downtime?
I think I was, no, probably not, because I was streaming before that. And then the podcast, I do it with my coach, my best friend, Tim Welch. And, he was always the one pushing the podcast. I'm like, dude, I got other shit. I'm down to fucking sit there and talk every once a week. So he was the kind of the one that was like, built the podcast, put it on Apple, put on like, got the cameras, figured all that shit out. And I would just show up and talk. But now we're 160 some episodes in. We do it every week. We've been doing it for a couple of years. And it's, you know, we're making money. We got sponsors, all that shit. So, you know, that I think would have just happened just because Tim wanted to make it happen. Mm. Streaming is just something I fucking love gaming, dude. Gaming's so fun for me. Playing with the boys, like hopping on, putting the headset on, and just going into a virtual fucking battleground and hanging out with the boys. That shit was just so fun to me.
How many viewers do you get?
Right now I've been popping off right after the fight. It's always way more. Mm. I had 1,000 for a couple of days. Now it's back down to like 500, 400, 500. But dude, yeah, gaming on just streaming in general is so much more fun than just gaming like without a stream.
Right.
Not cause you're just making money, but just you do something sick. You look over the chat. They're like, whoa, yeah. Like it's just fucking fun. Do you ever fuck around?
I stream online poker. I play all these tournaments shit, okay. And shit. And that's fucking
stressful.
It kind of is, but I really like the feeling of being on stream because of the fact that it forces me to try to like really verbalize my decisions and not just like sort of like when you're playing poker, it's kind of like you can just allow yourself to be like, fuck it, let's gamble. Mm. But like when I'm sitting there and I know that there's people watching that are going to tell me if I fuck up, that it's just like that much more pressure for me to play well. And yeah. I find like I kind of learn a lot more when I'm doing that.
Yeah,
but poker is a weird thing.
Poker. What do you play?
Texas Hold'em on America's Card Room. Shout out to them. Used code No Jumper.
Ooh, dude, Texas Hold'em. I haven't played that in so long. But I was telling my buddies back in Arizona. I'm like, we have to have a fucking poker night, dude. We have to have a poker night because that shit would be so fun.
Oh yeah.
We got to make the hack.
I could get the site to fuck with you if you wanted to do anything
online
for sure.
Poker,
they would fuck with you for sure. You can play in America. This is the only site you can play on in America.
Really?
Mm.
Damn. You like play? Do you play poker not online ever?
Sometimes, but usually like from my perspective, it's like, I don't really want to play poker unless I'm either like unless I can do something else at the same time. Cause a lot of times I'll play poker for 8 hours, but I'm also like
Damn.
Listening to hella podcasts right. and just like getting so much more like ready for the interviews that I have the next week versus like, if I just go to the casino and play, it just feels like kind of a waste of time. So like, I like going and playing these games where they live stream it from the casino. So, Damn. Cause then I feel like I'm like, sort of building more of a name for myself in the poker world and shit.
When you play poker online, are you playing with random people or buddies?
Yeah, but the other day, actually, I played this game where we all put in 20,000 and the other people...
Oh, I heard about that.
The like, other people were like Logan Paul, Mr. Beast. Ninja. Like all people, yeah, who definitely like 20,000 means less to them than it means to me.
Yeah, they're like, what? I heard Logan say, like, yeah, I lost 20,000 on his podcast. Like, it was no big deal.
Because it wasn't being recorded, so they were just talking about their deals and stuff. And like, let me tell you, if I've ever like felt comfortable money-wise, hearing the fucking bags that they bring in, I was just like... Like, all right, like, I just cannot stop grinding because these dudes, it's fucked up how much they're getting.
Yeah, no, that is crazy. Ninja's probably popping the most out of all those guys. I wonder.
Yeah, but Mr. Beast and Logan Paul, KSI, Jesus Christ, they're all killing
you're right.
it. Crazy.
Yeah, Mr. Beast, fucking Steve, Big Steve.
Steve will do it, he's going crazy, too. You see that video of him buying all, or there's the video that
bro,
you were in. Yeah, he bought
shit,
you one,
bro.
Too, right?
I've been rocking it. Gave me a chain, too. Steve's a man. That was crazy because he was at the fights in Vegas.
Right.
And I like blacked out for the first time that night after my fight. And I messaged him on Instagram, sent him two videos. I have no idea what the fuck I said. But he's like, you're the man. You want to come out and film, hang out with Six in Miami that next week. And I was like, what the fuck? Hell yeah, that sounds so fun. So that was the first time I met him. Super nice. He's 22. 20 fucking 2 years
wow,
old. He's
crazy.
A young kid.
Yeah. Newly single.
Newly single. Steve. Steve will do it LLC. Dude, he's a fucking man. Steve's cool dude.
Right. No, he's sick.
I can't believe he gives so much shit away.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, bro, if you can buy $500,000 worth of jewelry for your friends, like,
what
how much
fuck?
Does that mean that you're bringing in that you feel comfortable doing that? I'm like, that's amazing, but I'm also just, but he keeps saying too, like, I'm more, he's like kind of worried, like, what his mom is going to say.
I know, he's always saying, mom, sorry, fuck you. Like, funny though.
And that's like, what I realized, like, I'm his mom in this situation. Yeah. Cause I'm sitting there just being like, oh, Steve, I don't know if this is a good idea.
I know. I don't know if you should buy 4 Teslas this week.
You already, were you already like a Nelk Boys fan before you met him and shit?
I didn't really watch it too much. It's funny because I started actually watching Steve Will Do It videos that fight camp, like a couple weeks out from that, all fight week. Tim and I, we're just chilling at the hotel. We're quarantined in Vegas. Dude, it was funny because we watched so many of those videos, and then he was I don't even know if I knew he was going to be there or not. I knew the Nelk Boys and Steve, they go to the fights. Right. I didn't know if he was going to be at that one
Dana's
specifically.
Dana's got a huge hard on for him.
Who?
Dana just has a huge hard on
for
him.
Dude, we FaceTime Dana every night.
He doesn't seem like he really likes anybody, but he fucking loves those fucking dudes.
And we call it, Steve would call him every night, just drunk. And he's like, make sure you don't hurt him. Don't hurt O'Malley. Yeah. I have like 4 selfies from me and Steve to Dana, just fucking drunk as shit.
Well, side note, does that feel weird that somebody like Dana White is clearly like very invested in your career? Like you becoming a big star and you not going on a losing streak is like one of the better things that could happen for the UFC. Like if they're able to build you up to Conor's level, then that's the best case scenario for them.
Dude, the UFC is an entertainment business, 51% and a 49% fighting business. It's they're an entertainment business, dude. They know what they're doing. They know how to build stars. They built Conor, Ronda, Izzy. It is good, but I don't know. I'd rather be on his good side than his bad side. Because if you don't like people, he don't give a fuck. He'll tell you he doesn't like you.
But like you must, at least in the comments or whatever, you must get accused of them sort of being like favoriting you. Would you say that that's true? And does it feel like that in your actual life?
I feel like a lot of people want me to fight someone ranked. And that's the plan, man. I picked that last fight when someone pulled out. They sent me a list of a couple people, and I picked the hardest dude on there. But then he said he couldn't make weight. So I don't know what it's hard to say. Next fight, a lot of people want me to fight someone ranked. They wanted me to fight someone ranked last fight. I was supposed to fight Luis Smolka. For me, I have a contract to fight a certain amount of fights, and I'm going to get paid a certain amount of money, whether I fight Luis Smolka, the dude I was supposed to fight, or I fight Petr Yan, the number one bantamweight in the UFC. I get paid the same. I'm going to fight this dude. Yeah. And I'm going to fight this dude on a Conor McGregor pay-per-view.
Because you just keep getting better, too.
I just keep getting better. I'm going to keep improving. Chael Sonnen always says it, fight the worst dude on the highest part of the card. A lot of bantamweights and just people in the UFC, they definitely hate, and it comes from jealousy. Like, I'm getting way more eyeballs than them for whatever. I perform in there, dude. You go and watch some of these guys perform. You literally pick up your phone and start surfing. You don't give a fuck what they're doing. I'm fighting. You're fucking. I had Beeb standing up in the fucking cage. Like, I watch my fight back all the time. It was sweet to see at the end of my fight, like the last 30 seconds, Bieber was standing up watching.
Right.
I'm like, that's fucking entertainment. That's what I do. That's why I get paid what I get paid. That's why I'm on in this position. Right. It ultimately comes down to my performances, but
the branding shit matters too. Because like you kind of feel for some of the dudes who are like Brazilian or whatever, where it's just going to be so much harder for them to really like form a bond with the audience because they don't speak English that well or whatever. You know, and some fighters just aren't really as spectacular. You know,
and they don't care to be. Some fighters don't care. They literally just want to fucking fight. They just want to train, fight. They don't really give a fuck about interviews. But, I mean, that you're not going to get paid. You're not going to make as much. You're not going to be able to sell merch. You're not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be able to stream on Twitch and have people that give a fuck about what you're doing outside the UFC or even in the UFC. There's plenty of people in the UFC that no one really gives a fuck about. But for me, before I even got into the UFC, I wanted to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
So I'll eat it all up.
It's interesting when you say that the UFC is 51% of an entertainment company and 49% like an athletic organization, because I've always respected that so much about Dana that there's been like so many like easy routes that he could have took towards like making huge fights happen in the UFC over the years. And yeah, there's definitely been people that he sort of like I'm talking about Brock Lesnar, they fast tracks into a position to get a title fight and shit. But for the most part, I feel like they exercise like pretty amazing discretion at treating the fights like a serious thing and not, you know, wanting to just put like some fucking monster against some pussy ass dude so he's just going to get the crazy knockout or whatever like the easy route would be. It feels like they more often than not don't take that.
I agree. No, I agree. I think, yeah, they make good fucking fights. Dana's a smart, smart, smart motherfucker, and they know exactly what they're doing. They have their matchmakers, Sean Shelby, Mick Maynard. Like, the UFC's obviously knows what the fuck they're doing. Mm. They're a billion-dollar company.
But then it's super fascinating to see the rise of, like, YouTube boxing, where it's the total opposite dynamic of, let's put together some fights that are going to get a shitload of eyeballs, and who gives a fuck about like who's the best or treating it like something that needs to have integrity. They're kind of showing that like the total opposite approach is also viable.
Yeah, 100%. There's less fights you can make that route though. Because were you invested in the Jake Paul Ben Askren fight? Did you watch?
I watched it, but I'm friends with Jake. I really thought he was going to get his ass beat. When he didn't, I was, you know, happy for him, but you know, I didn't feel that invested in it per se.
Are you watching Jake versus Tyrone?
I'll definitely watch that. Yeah, to be honest, I probably tuned into pretty much all of these like influencer fights.
For me, like those fights, like Jake versus Ben, I was so much more interested and intrigued than 99% of the UFC fights. Like I'd rather, unless it's a Conor fight, like a Diaz fight, unless it's a huge fight or it's one of my buddies, I don't really watch the UFC too much. Like I don't get too excited. I mean, same with Bellator. Like I like watching exciting fights that I'm like interested in, like what the fuck. And even Logan versus Floyd. I was sitting on my fucking chair, like sweating, like what the fuck? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Jake versus Ben, Jake versus Tyron. I'm going to go to that. It's going to be fucking sweet. For whatever reason, I'm just super entertained by those. And I love how much shit Jake talks.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, it makes that fight so much more interesting.
From your perspective as somebody who's obviously got a lot of experience with striking and stuff, how do you feel when you watch Jake Paul? Do you feel like he really is getting like to be that good? Like it's kind of like our perspective of him is colored by the fact that we haven't seen him take an L. So we're all kind of like, fuck, this guy's dope. But a lot of us aren't necessarily experts.
No, Jake, I'm definitely buddies with Jake. I wish I could watch him spar against a professional boxer that I knew and could get a really good idea of his skill level. Going into the Ben Askren fight, I'm like, I know for a fact Ben Askren can't box. Like, you just look at him hit mitts, you look at him, he's just never been a boxer, he's a wrestler. So when he knocked out Ben, I was like, okay, that just proves to me that Jake can box and Ben Askren can't fucking box. This fight, Jake versus Woodley, will prove a lot. Woodley can fucking box. He's not a high-level black belt boxer. He's a wrestler that knows how to box, and he's knocked people out in the UFC, so I think this fight will definitely prove if Jake's improving a lot. He's a young kid. He's athletic. He's taking it fucking serious, and he's improving a lot, so I'm excited to see this fight and how it goes down.
Obviously, like, your career path is already, like, pretty set out in front of you. Like, you know what you're trying to do. You want to be a UFC champion, but if you maybe were at a different point in your career, could you see yourself being interested in doing those kind of influencer fights where maybe the bag is 10 times bigger, but then you're not fighting like the top level competition?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have a couple fights on my contract left in the UFC. I plan on staying with the UFC. They've been nothing but good for me, but we'll see if there's $10, $20 million bags out there being offered. You know, we'll see. UFC don't pay you like that. They just don't. Eventually, I'll get to a point where I'm Conor level and I can make that money. But, dude, I have to become champion. I have to defend the belt, probably move up. You know, I have to win some big fucking fights to make that kind of money.
Right.
But also with winning the fights, like even just winning that last fight, that makes the merch go up. That makes all the sponsor money go up. So I am making good money from the UFC because they give me that platform to be able to get all the eyeballs for everything else. So I'm not too worried about it. But if you want to make million, it's in boxing right now. It's in boxing.
Did you see Bryce Hall versus Austin McBroom?
I watched that. I didn't watch it live. Fuck, what was I doing? I don't even remember what I was doing. I was there another fight on that night or something? But yeah. I
think that was a UFC fight that night, wasn't there?
But I went back and rewatched it. Austin looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny, dude. It's so funny how delusional, not those two in particular, just delusional males are when it comes to fighting. If they've never had their ass whooped before, they think that they think fighting something totally different. They have this this completely made up story in their head that they think they can whoop someone's ass.
Right.
And then it comes into it, and you 20 seconds into a fight, and you're fucking gassed out.
That's the one thing that so many dudes will just allow themselves to be fucking deluded about. They'll just tell themselves lies about, like, oh, if so-and-so did this, I would fuck him up. And it's like, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any attempt to sort of tether that to reality, which is fascinating. And I probably do it too. I probably sat there and told my girl, like, if that fucking dude sits on me, I'll beat his. No actual consideration of how I would do in that fight.
Right, how
you know?
Would you do? Yeah, that's funny. I see that all the time, dude. People talking shit. Even like, it's like, how would you, if someone says, a lot of people say too, like, I'll just black out and beat his ass. But like, how would you beat his ass? Like, what would you do?
And blacking out is probably not a great.
Definitely not a good idea. Like, for me, if I'm fighting somebody, I would rather them be very upset, angry, emotional, wanting them to fight me. That's what Conor did so well, especially with Jose Aldo. Got him so aggressive, so mad, so angry. You make a mistake, fucking get you. You know that taps your cardio too. Cardio is king in this sport, dude. You have to have good cardio. You can be as skilled as you want in the first round, but you gas out in the second round. Your skills aren't there, and your cardio's. I mean, if your cardio's not there, your skills are gonna drop. So cardio's fucking king in this sport, and that's another thing people don't even think about. Like random people that'll get in a street fight or something. Like, dude, you'll be gassed out, heart rate 200. On your knees in a minute.
What would it take to make you in a street fight at this point? Knowing that it's probably a pretty bad
question.
Career move.
Yeah,
but,
no, very bad.
You also know that you're very capable.
What would it take? Someone trying to jack my watch.
Disrespect you in front of your kid.
Yeah.
That's got to be one.
Elena, like, she's so young. I feel like someone that I would look at whoever's disrespecting me in front of my kid, like, I would look at them as just like... You're retarded. Like, what do you do? Like, it would take a lot for me to actually physically want to do anything to someone, just because I don't know. I just would look at that person as like so stupid. I don't know. I definitely wouldn't want to hurt anybody in the streets. If I did get in a street fight, I'd probably teep kick that little sternum kick I'd throw right to their sternum, and it'd probably make them fold over.
Yeah,
but I definitely
got that at
your
disposal.
It's nice.
It's a nice way to take care of it.
It's a nice
from a
fucking
distance.
Yeah, long kick, doesn't hurt his face. I don't want to kill anybody. But yeah, a street fight, I can't see myself getting in one.
I got a friend of mine who is, you know, regular guy, but takes a lot of pride in knocking motherfuckers out. And I have seen him knock a lot of fucking people out throughout my life, including like me looking out the window of my house and seeing like a 40-year-old dude laid out in the street because he almost hit him on with his car riding his bike. And my homie just boom and just fucking knocks him out in the street. But he was telling me a story, and this is like, I've never heard a story that basically was like him getting disrespected and then just letting it go. And he told me that he was like at the beach, and this dude who was like clearly a gangbanger like came up to him while he was with his like 4-year-old and fully tried to punk him. Like, I forget exactly what he said or did, but he told me, he's like, yeah, I just walked away. Like, I'm not going to fucking get clapped in front of my kid. I'm not going to like let the situation just seems so obviously bad that he turned his pride off for once in his fucking life and just let it go. And I was like, I'm kind of proud
of
you.
Dude, yeah, that's the bigger man right there. That's the bigger person, being able to walk away. That's a skill too. Being able to just, you know, your ego, you want to fucking, especially if you knock people out and you know you can knock people out, to be able to go, all right, we're not going to, it's a good skill to have.
But like when you're out of like the club or the bar and like you're surrounded by other professional fighters, does it feel like the odds of anyone getting into a fight are like extremely low or kind of higher?
That's a good question. I've never really partied with a bunch of fighters. Keep my circle real small for the most part. Every time I've been drunk, dude, I just want to fucking dance. Call it dancing. I don't know, wiggle mostly. Just fucking stumble around drunk. Just I like going up to everybody. Just like, you having a good time? Just fucking screaming. Right. Just I'm a happy, happy fucking drunk. So I don't even think about fighting or think about if I'm in danger. I'm sure if something happened, I need to fucking bust someone up real quick. I'd be able to.
Right.
I've never even, when I'm drunk, dude, I'm just making sure everyone's having a good fucking time.
Yeah. No, that's definitely.
You drink much?
I used to drink a lot and like do drugs and shit, but now at this, I haven't really been drunk in probably like 3 years.
Damn, really? Three years. That's, dude, fuck. Because if you, yeah. What was the craziest drugs you done?
The meth.
Meth? Dude, I feel like
just one time this girl, we were already drunk as fuck, and she's like, "You want to do this?"
I'd have probably done it too.
I thought it was Molly. And then she's like, "No, it's," I forget what she called it, but she's like, "It'll make sex really amazing." That's all I had to hear. Yeah, I'm like, "Let's go." Yeah.
That'd have fucking got me in there too.
She wasn't lying either.
Was it crazy?
And we were up for, like, my homie, I had to, like, host this BMX contest, like, yelling over the megaphone or whatever at, like, 10 in the morning. And me and her, like, get home and start fucking. And my homie, like, banged on my door. And I'm going to go to sleep for a little bit and then I'll be good. He's like, "Bro, it's 9:30.
Oh, shit.
And I had just been completely, like, in the zone fucking that whole night with no clue how much time had passed.
Dude.
That's when I really realized how dangerous of a drug that might have been.
Yeah. That's pure just being in the moment, though.
Yeah.
It's crazy how some drugs just put you in the moment. Drugs are fucking fun, but they're dangerous. And what I've kind of, like, you do drugs and you have all those happy times. I feel like with those come, like, the, like, depressive, like, you have those ups, and then after, you gotta have those downs. That's just how the fucking world works. So, at least mine, those ups and downs. But, like, when I get those training highs after jujitsu, after a hard workout, like, I have those highs, but after, it's more of those, like, it's more peaceful. So, it's like a different high. It's a similar high, but without a come down.
My favorite thing about jujitsu when I was doing it was just that feeling of leaving the gym, and literally every single part of your body is just lit the fuck up.
Did you do gi?
Yeah. Just pure soreness, just like radiating out of me. And I would have to just go home and like lay down at like 7 p.m. and just not be able to do any. It was the best.
It really
I miss
is.
That shit.
Just peace, dude. I swear to God. I have a cold plunge at home. This dope ass. Fuck, what's
that?
That
makes a big difference?
Dude, 100%. I think, because I do it every night. I do 3 minutes every night. When I'm in camp, the water will be 38, 39 degrees. When I'm out of camp, I'll have it like 47, 48, 49. It's just a little bit more easy to get in and sit for 3 minutes. But dude, after a hard jujitsu and your hands hurt and your everything aches, you lay in that thing and get out. My sleep, I track my sleep every night too. My sleep is way better, dude. Way fucking better.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, when I think about partying and stuff, it's like, it was great for all those years, but then I just started to hit this point where I would just get fucking hungover for like a day and a half. And that was when I was just like, dude, fuck this shit. Because I used to be out like fucking drinking like crazy, doing coke. And then we'd wake up at 10 in the morning and go ride bikes for like 10 fucking hours in the van. And it just didn't really affect me. And then, like, you know, I'm 37 now. I mean, that just at a certain point just started to really fuck me up.
I think I enjoy the partying so much after a fight because I'm celebrating. It's like, okay, I fucking just did what I did. I won. It was a lot of hard work. Now I can let loose. I can just not give a fuck for a little bit. So when I go out, I just fucking can. I just like to go out and go hard. Now we're in LA this weekend. I brought my baby and Danny. We're here, so I'm definitely not going out. But it's good to have the, because if I have the baby around, it's like obviously I'm not gonna fucking go out and party. So it's nice. But when I'm out in Miami by myself, shit's fun.
Yeah, I still haven't even like gone out and like really partied since I had the kid, which is something that I'm like kind of looking forward to, but also like kind of, it just feels weird, like a different level of pressure, like fucking,
a little bit,
you know. I just like, because I know my kid's waking me up at like 6 a.m.
dude. Isn't that the best though, the waking up? Because usually pretty much every morning Elena wakes up at 6:37, so after whatever time she wakes up, wakes me up, I take Elena out, take her outside, change her diaper, whatever, and Danny gets to sleep for a couple extra hours because Elena will wake up in the middle of the night and want boobs, and Danny's sleep gets interrupted. So
it's the same thing. I bring her in the garage while I'm working out in the morning and
the
shit.
The mornings are the best, aren't they, with them?
Yeah.
They're just fucking fun. You got a little, you lift weights in your garage?
Yeah.
Nice.
But I bring my kid out and put her in her little thing, and she just sort of like wanders around, kicks it,
observes. It's crazy. They're just constantly, their eyes are so big, just looking at shit. It's fucking
trippy. Still lie to myself every day, like if I have to work out at 8 and I'm like setting my alarm for 7:30 and just knowing that there's no way I'm sleeping till 7:30.
You wish, huh? I know,
it seems like a great idea, but it's not very realistic.
I know, especially once they're up. It's not like, just go back to sleep. It's like, no, you're fucking up. They're pulling my hair, or she's pulling my hair.
Oh god, you having long hair, that must
be
the worst.
On the plane here, I fell asleep like on Danny's lap and Elena was sleeping, and like right when I was about to fall asleep, she just fucking yanks it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're fucking cute, but.
Yeah. Like anyone else on earth, if they were to like wake me up unnecessarily in the morning, I would be like, what the fuck are you? Like, I want to kill you. Get the fuck away from me. But then with a kid, it's like they're waking you up, but they're just radiating cuteness at you.
Dude,
you can't do anything but just be like, all right, yeah, 4 hours sleep. Fuck it.
What time do you usually go to bed?
Usually I try to go to bed like midnight and then wake up.
What do you do? What do you do so late? Like from like 9 to midnight, what are you doing?
I mean, usually I'm like here until like 8. So I get home like 8, 9. And I try to just like really just like zone the fuck out and just watch whatever I'm watching on YouTube. Usually like poker tournaments, or a lot of times I have to get ready for interviews. So it's like I'll do 6 hours of interviews here and then I go home and I'm like post up on the couch, roll a blunt. And it's like I'm immediately back into watching other interviews to get ready to for my interviews, which sometimes that's when it really feels like I'm burning the candle at both ends. Like I can't have my mind thinking about interviewing all day and then preparing for the more interviews after that, but that's actually what I'm doing. And I just it's not that bad. I was just trying to like think, like, you know,
could
like,
be working construction.
Then I have to then think about the money to like remind myself, like,
yeah,
this is not like a normal amount of money. Like I asked my mom this morning when I saw her, I was like, how broke were we when we were kids? And she confirmed that we were really, really broke. So that like that kind of thing like really grounds me to like not take anything for granted.
Dude,
you know?
Fuck yeah. Especially being able to podcast. It's like, dude, you see people waking up 7 a.m. going to construction jobs for 8, 9, 10 hours. You drive past them on the road. And I'm just like, fuck, dude. If I ever bitch about anything, I'm the biggest pussy in the fucking world because my life is so fucking easy compared to 99% of people.
I think about that all the time. That like most people are stuck working a lot for an amount of money they're not happy with and they don't like what they're doing. It's like, yeah, I'm working a lot, but I'm being rewarded well, building something, and I'm actually really passionate about it. So yeah. I just like always try to bring myself back to reality anytime I'm feeling like pushed over the edge.
It needs to be like a daily reminder too.
Yeah.
Because you can go fucking wild without thinking like that. I feel like it's important to think like that, to have those fucking thoughts. Be like, oh shit, life's pretty good. There's a lot of other people that would literally change their life to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a good reminder daily to just be grateful, huh?
Yeah, because I mean, I see rappers all the time who might, you know, like cancel the show where they're supposed to be getting paid $50,000 and they just don't feel like it. Or they're like, you know, like, and they cancel the show. And it's like, I mean, that to me is like, I never want to like start thinking that $50,000 is not worth going hard for, even if I've got a lot of money in the bank. Like, you just, to me, that's like a place I just like never want to get to, you know?
Yeah. Dude, perform rappers are so lucky that how they can perform, dude. Because for me, I love performing, I love entertaining. I can only do it 3-4 times a year, max 4 times a year. Like, I probably won't fight more than 4. 3 seems to like, 3 was last year. I'll probably have 3 this year. Like, 3 seems to be the, but dude, these guys can go perform on Rolling Loud and then go fucking perform the next weekend somewhere else. Like, mm-hmm. That's so fucking sweet. It's fun watching people perform that enjoy performing. It's fucking sweet.
But it's weird too, because it's like the performing is like the immediate way to get paid. But then in reality, like staying home and being in the studio and just recording all the time is like, that's like a completely separate like side hustle. And you have to be managing both of those things at the same time. And it's really hard. Like, there's been some people who have had creative solutions. Like, I was thinking of Lil Wayne, who had 2 tour buses, one to sleep on and one to record on while he was on the road, which I was
that's
like,
gangster.
That's some rich one shit
to sleep,
right there.
One to record. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. That creative process for musicians and rappers is so crazy. I would love to go on tour with someone and just see, like, because they'll fucking perform in this state and then the next night they'll be in another state, right?
Yeah,
just taking jets fucking places.
It's weird because the only times I've ever been on tour with rappers was like in a 15 passenger van, like people basically like sleeping on each other, like Lil Pump's fucking head on my shoulder sleeping and shit. And like when I see like rappers who are like really on some rich shit, taking private jets or having super nice buses and shit, I'm like, that seems pretty dope.
Dude,
that seems like it would be easy.
That seems so sweet.
Yeah.
I would love to go on a tour with people, just fucking follow them and watch what they do.
Mm.
I think when me and Tom first, he was living with me when we first, I think we were watching Lil Pump in your vlogs. I think that's when we
back
first,
in
like,
the day.
What was that, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years ago.
There was
a
while where like people would just on the street be like, you're Lil Pump's friend. like before Pump. I had the whole No Jumper identity fully built out, I was Lil Pump's friend for a while. That was cool.
How's he? Just a normal little dude?
Yeah, I don't know.
How tall is he? 5'4", 5'5"?
He's a little guy.
Little guy.
And he probably could have been a bigger guy if he didn't do all those drugs when he was a little kid.
Because he's still fucking young, right?
Yeah.
20-something?
I always just wonder that. Like, if fucking...
If we would have grown a couple inches.
You know, like, sometimes I see these dudes and I'm like, would they have been bigger if they weren't popping all these Xans when they were little kids?
Dude, God. That's fuck sad. Yeah. Or you vape? You have a vape or no?
I smoke blunts and eat edibles, actually. Shout out to these 2020 future strips. We got to gift you some of these because these things, before your next camp, you got to make sure you experiment with these and let us know how they go.
Dude, 100%. I usually for weed in camp, I usually cut about 14 days out.
Oh, that's all you need.
Yeah, well, now in Vegas, I could smoke the day before the fight. They said just don't show up high. That's completely new now. But for me, that 2 weeks, just cutting it out, I feel way more clear-headed. And every time I do a weed break, I always feel so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like clear-headed. Everything feels good. And then I take one puff and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I smoke. Like, it's so hard not to. And it's like, what's the negative effects? Nothing really. All right.
Yeah. It's like you wake up a little groggy.
Dude, edibles, I wake up groggy, like a motherfucker. Or if I smoke too close to bed. Like, I've gotten really, really fucking good at not smoking too close to bed. And
really?
It's kind of hard.
You think that's bad?
I track my sleep, and I've been tracking my sleep for like 3 years.
With the bracelet? You use the ring. Okay,
yeah, so it's like I notice my sleep difference. Dude, if I smoke right before bed, I just get super fucking dry. My REM sleep's not as good. If I'm going to bed at 10:30, I smoke at 7, and that high pretty much wears off by the time I go to sleep. I sleep way fucking better, dude. Just according to my ring, I feel better too, but it's hard not to fucking take a rip before bed. Just get blasted off, lay in bed, and fucking just spin.
Yeah, I fall asleep like immediately. And I don't dream, which is the weird part about weed, is that for the past like 10, 12 years that I've been like a daily weed smoker, I just don't really have dreams. And then, but recently, like, I got COVID, so that made me not smoke for a week. And then when I started smoking again, we did like this all day live stream where we listen to people's music on stream for donations, and probably smoked like 4 blunts, and my fucking throat was so swollen and fucked up from it. I think I just like dove into it too fast, and those were like 2 weeks where I wasn't smoking, and it just really, really, like, I started having weird dreams, freaky shit started happening in my brain.
Dude, yeah, weed's a trip. For me, like, because I try to keep my lungs as healthy as possible. I have a really nice vaporizer, the Volcano. Do you know what the Volcano is?
Yeah, but is that's a concern, is that you think it might affect your cardio a bit?
Yeah, I think so a little bit. I have asthma too a little bit, so I can feel it. Like last night we were smoking joints, and like I woke up and I could feel it. So for the most part, even a clean dab at a good temperature won't fuck me up. A clean dab the vaporizer doesn't really fuck me up. Edibles obviously don't fuck me up, but dude, smoke like a bong, bong pipes, joints, blunts, fuck me up a little bit, but.
I remember one of the Diaz brothers, when you said the thing about don't show up high, that like his drug test like said that he basically was high as fuck for the fight.
It was when he submitted Takanori Gomi. I'm pretty sure it was Nick Diaz. They said that his THC levels were so fucking high that he had to be like smoking in the locker room.
Yeah.
But those dudes, can fucking fight high. Oh,
those
are
some real gangsters 100%. Right there.
I wouldn't want to fight high. Like, I'm like, I just couldn't do it. Some people could. Tom, you probably fucking could. He likes Chief. Nick, Nate, obviously could.
You use jiu-jitsu high, though?
Oh, yeah.
I always hear that.
Fun,
that's a big part
bro.
Of the culture,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God, dude. Jiu-jitsu fucking stoned is so much fun. It's probably one of... Dude, it's got to be up there with, like, partying hard. It's, like, that level of fun doing jiu-jitsu stoned.
Right.
It's so much fun. With some good tunes. Oh, shit.
A couple years ago, I was supposed to interview those two because they were, like, coming into my store a lot and shit. And we had the interview lined up. And I actually spent, like, a whole weekend just... I fucking got UFC Fight Pass, which I had to get again for this interview. but they fucking... Like, I was just rewatching all their shit, and like, you know, I was actually talking to some of my friends who were in the store with them, and they said that they're just like in a constant state of like
shadowboxing,
sort of like getting it in with each other and shit. And there was actually like some gangster dude who was at the store, like, who kind of tried to like press an issue, like with the fucking cashier, like kind of trying to like punk him, like acting like he should get clothes for free or some shit. And he told me later that like he could see one of the gangster dude's homies like basically like warning, like being like, don't try to be tough right now. Like, they're professional UFC fighters. Like, they will fuck you up. They're crazy.
Dude, yeah. I mean, it's crazy if you don't know what people are capable of.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at those guys, you might think they're gangsters. You might think they're badass. They'll fight. But
they got the look in their face like they will, like, they look a little deranged.
They know, dude.
You know?
They know. Yeah. You look into their eyes, okay, they know some shit that I don't know.
Yeah.
No, they're fucking, yeah, Nick and Nate. Dude, Nick's fighting again. How crazy is that?
That's so sick.
I'm so curious because... If you see him on Instagram, like even 2, 3, 4 years ago, he just looks like he's in Vegas partying all the time. Like, that's what I got from it, from his like couple of Instagram stories and shit. So fucking curious how that fight plays out against Robbie Lawler, because they fought. How long ago was that?
That's who he's fighting too. Yeah.
What did they say? That was 12 years ago, 11 years ago they fought.
Wow.
And now they're fighting again. Nick hasn't fought in 5 years. That fight's going to be crazy.
Yeah. So you are a fan.
Dude, a little bit. That's a big fight. That's what I'm saying. That's a big fight. Yeah. Nick Diaz returns after 5 years. I'll definitely watch that. But like, I think there's fights this weekend that I fucking don't know who's on the card.
Right.
Like, I definitely ain't watching Friday, tomorrow.
I could definitely watch every card and enjoy it, but it just feels to me like, is this the best use of my like 4 hours tonight when I'm with my girl and I know she's not exactly dying to watch this, so I kind of like hold off.
What do you and your girl do for fun? Do you guys like watch? Do you guys have a Netflix show you guys like to watch, or what do you do at night?
We're always like rotating between different shows. Although right now she's in like season 6 of Grey's Anatomy, so I'm not watching that shit. She kind of like leaves me at some point at night and just goes and watches that in the room.
Dude, fuck yeah! What have you been watching? Just usually preparing for.
Yeah.
Who do you have next? Do you know who you have next, or do you have people look it up? Or
yeah, I always have a fucking schedule that's like slowly in a state of being built up. Like, but they're probably all rappers that you haven't heard of. I got these two LA rappers. This dude Wale the Sensei, and then this dude Jap 5. There's a rapper from back in the day named Lil Mouse who like disappeared for a long ass time, and I got him on Monday.
Do you just hit him up on Insta? Or a little bit of both. They hit you up.
Oh, actually, I really have to tell them that Monday interview is not happening because I have to do this poker tournament. But, you know.
Damn. That's sweet, though. You interview, like, guys that. So they're just, like, coming up, maybe, potentially?
A lot of them. That's kind of, like, with No Jumper, one of the main things I realized that was kind of crazy for me early on is, like, people want to know about rappers even before they're some big-ass star. That's because sweet. It's, like, they're just interesting personalities and characters and shit. So, like, for me, at least in terms of, like, L.A. dudes who are really from the hood, like, I like to just try to interview dudes, like, super early because I'm just interested in getting to know them. And then, like, I feel like the audience appreciates, like, the biggest successes that I've ever had with a podcast are usually just getting somebody who ended up being a huge star, but I got them like really early at a time where they were just raw as fuck and just not. Because once they're like really rich and famous, then they kind of get media trained. They realize, oh, I don't really have a ton to gain from going on this podcast and just talking all this crazy shit, you know?
Yeah, no, that's way cool. How long have you been on YouTube?
2012, I started doing BMX shit on YouTube, and then 2015, 2016 was when we started No Jumper. So
damn, that's grinding though. You've been grinding because you have fucking fat subs too. Yeah. Like, you've been grinding.
Almost 4 million. Like and subscribe, all you fucking UFC fans who have not subscribed yet.
Oh, they'll watch. They'll subscribe.
You know what to do,
dude. That's fucking sweet though. Been grinding on YouTube. That's so cool that you can make money off like social media shit like this. It still blows my fucking mind, dude. Still, like, because even like. When I was in high school, it wasn't like, oh, I could make money off YouTube. Like, it just didn't seem, that wasn't even an option. It was like, what are you going to do for work? So it's crazy right now you can make money doing all this.
That's one of the things I love the most is like seeing these dudes who are like kind of like the new generation of YouTubers where I know that they would literally be like a drug dealer or robbing people or whatever. And they figured out at a certain point, like, oh, I can make a YouTube video and make a couple $100 and just sitting in my house. Or like, you know, same thing with a lot of Twitch streamers and stuff. Like, I know so many people that this is really like their alternative to being in the streets. Dude, and that's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, using their creativity, their energy towards making videos or thinking about what can I make a new video for instead of selling drugs, doing fucking robbing, doing whatever.
Taking risks, you know, because a lot of dudes are doing that they're taking those kind of risks to basically be able to take care of their kids. But you're taking a risk that you're not going to be there for a big chunk of your kids' upbringing, you know?
Yeah, 100%. No, we're fucking lucky to be in 2021 living this crazy ass fucking life.
It's true. Okay, so you're going back home after this, and what does the game plan look like
for LA? Yeah, tonight I'm gonna hang out with my buddy Dingo because I just signed with Monster, so he lives out here. He's gonna take us to the Monster office or some shit, and then he's gonna take us to Nobu, Malibu dinner tonight.
Gotta hit Nobu.
That's a fire.
Very important part of just LA culture in general. Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna go
out
there.
That's like the nice restaurant that you gotta like take a girl to or
a couple.
You gotta just see a bunch of celebrities there, or whatever, you know.
Oh, damn, that'll be sweet. Yeah,
you'll see famous people there for sure.
Is that so? That's right on the beach, right?
Yeah, up in Malibu.
Is there like what? How's the beach because right now, obviously, LA might be shutting down again or whatever. Mm. Is there still like a ton of chicks on the beach, or is it like kind of calmed down because not as many people are visiting, or what's the chick situation like?
If you survey a large percentage of the beach in Malibu, you're definitely gonna see some chicks. I don't know what beach you would be the best beach to go
to pick up a chick. For me and my girl. What if me and my girl want to pick up a chick? Where should we go in LA?
Probably like some sort of bordello and just find yourself a prostitute. But you know,
okay, because I brought a babysitter tonight. So
oh, that's what she's operating at?
Yeah, she's my babysitter. No, yeah. So we'll have to go check out some prostitutes.
That's tight. You think that like bonding experience of fucking a girl with your girl brings you closer together?
I think so, for sure. We've been together for about 7-8 years. And we've had a couple threesomes. It's just fun. Just like... I think it brings us closer together for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of trust right there.
A lot of trust. Yeah, definitely a lot of trust. Just the new experience, especially for Danny, just fucking being with a girl. She enjoys it. She likes it. It's fun for her. It's fun for me. But yeah, what's our chances picking up a chick in LA tonight?
Man, I just don't know where to go.
I know. It's crazy out here. I feel like it's not as popping. Clubs, yeah. I know. It's like if I told Danny, I'm like, I'm not going to drink. We're not drinking tonight or this trip. Like, I'm going to be sober this trip, but might have to Saturday night. Got a babysitter. Might have to go find a little mamacita.
Might have to. Damn. That sucks. Like, the porn star girls I know, I feel like if I told them, like, hey, holler at this rapper friend of mine holler at this UFC fighter friend of mine.
Call me a rapper, they might like it more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're basically a rapper.
Dude, I need to get on something. I wish... Dude, someday I'm going to be on something. I don't want to be like Tyron Woodley, though, and just get made fun. Have you listened to his?
Oh,
God. He just gets made fun of so bad. I don't want to be that.
I mean, most athletes throughout the years have... And also, yeah, shout out to this fly that is totally yeah. like making us... Well, see, you got the reflexes. You almost got it.
You read
saw
that book
it in
before?
Your hand.
Mastery?
Yeah.
Good-ass book.
Classic.
Yeah. But what were you saying? Most athletes that tried rapping suck,
very
basically.
Few athletes that people have seemed willing to take serious as rappers. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of those dudes in the NBA that are fucking got some sweet shit. Who is
These
it?
Days?
Okay. Do you know who I'm talking about? I feel like Lillard.
I'm thinking about like Shaq. Shaq's career was pretty
wack.
Wait,
what did you say? He got some fire shit, right? A couple?
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm pretty sure. He's got some sweet shit, but Shaq, definitely. Yeah, it's probably not realistic, but you never know.
Yeah, they're probably out there.
If I can just scream some shit, like a 5-second scream thing, let me see.
If you want to like think about an easy way that you could fit into a rap song, like there's a Skepta song, and ASAP Bari, who's not a rapper, he did the chorus on the song, and he just literally said, "It ain't safe on the block, not even for the cops." And they sampled that. They made it the hook of the song. It's a very dope song. And it like gave him a chance to basically rap the hook of the song without actually really rapping.
That's sweet.
I always felt like that was...
So there's opportunity. There's potential. So you're saying I got a chance.
Or you could hop on an intro maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just have to say like kill a perfect post-fight. Mm. And then they'll throw it on the song. Didn't someone do that with Connor? When Connor did something on one of the post-fight interviews, he said something fucking funny. I think someone threw it on his song. But
yeah. Do you think Connor's done?
Dude, he hasn't won since for like 5 years. I still think he's super fucking good. Obviously, he's a very high level. Mm. But who do you give him next? Everyone in the top 10 is a dangerous fucking fight. Like, I just don't know who he would fight next. He has to win his next fight.
Yeah.
He can't fucking lose his next fight. When will he fight again? Honestly, probably not for another 12 months-ish. That's a pretty serious fucking surgery he had.
Yeah. And then the crazy thing is, like, I don't think Connor really wants to be, like, you know, number 5 in the world. Like, he doesn't want to be, like, in the top 10. He wants to be number 1. And if he's going to just be sort of, like, shrinking away from number 1, it seems like it's not his personality to keep it going.
Yeah, he's just so fucking rich right now. But even then, like, going into this last fight, that was what people were saying, like, is he too rich to fucking want it?
And that seems like one of the most consistent things from watching UFC for like 10 years is that when Ronda fucking got in a different place financially, it's like, boom, the losing streak just starts. It feels like that is just like so consistent in MMA.
Unfortunately, it kind of is. I feel like with Ronda, I mean, as watching, I just never felt like her skills were super high level. I thought she was just fighting people that sucked way worse
this
than her.
This is such an early days of that division of women in it.
And then,
MMA,
like, she fought Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes, like, girls that could compete, and she just kind of got exposed for a real skill level. Yeah. Connor's good, though. He's, like, really actually good as fuck, but every single fight he has to be a mega fight. Mm. So he has to fight someone else that's a name, somewhat of a fucking name. So it's tricky for him to get fights because whoever he fights, he's making famous as fuck, and like he's making them rich. So he's, you know, all that goes into his mind. Like who am I gonna pick to potentially beat me that I care about making rich? Like Dustin Poirier is a star now because Conor fought him twice or three times.
You mentioned moving up in weight at a certain point if you were to like dominate your own division. Yeah. Like that's always I would always think about that with Conor though. I'm like, bro, like don't move up in weight. Just keep fighting in this division. Just have this ridiculous win streak.
Weight cuts
as the champion.
Oh, weight cuts. People want to get past motherfucker, that, you know? Dude. Like cutting. I weighed myself this morning. I was 157.4 or something, and when I fight, I weigh in at 136. Dude, and to get down to that literally takes fucking, I'd say five, six weeks of strict, like I do 8 weeks, but like strict diet to get down to 140 or to 151, 150. And then from like fight week, I go from 150 to 136. So mostly water weight and shit. But dude, it fucks with you so bad. You literally are basically dying. Like fucking laying there, 137 pounds, one more pound left. I have to sit in this fucking tub. My heart feels like it's about to beat out of my chest. Like just no fucking energy. So weight cut, like Conor moved up from 145 to 155. Dude, the weight cut just fucking sucks. Like eventually I'm going to move up to 145. And I'll probably put on a couple pounds and it'll still fucking suck. But I definitely see myself going up 145 after I get the belt.
But it's a pretty crazy thing being a UFC fighter because it's like I think that you have the skill set that 100% of people respect.
Yeah.
You know? Like the most gangster ass rapper dudes that I know, if they were in here and I said, yeah, he's this guy and showed him a little bit of your highlight reel or whatever, it's like immediately they're going to be treating you like you're the fucking man. And that's got to feel pretty good because you're one of the best at the thing that every guy knows is at least a possibility for them when they leave the house.
Right. Yeah. I heard all rappers want to be fighters and fighters want to be rappers.
Yeah.
But it is cool because I walk into, if a group of people know who I am, they all treat me super, like I don't know how to really get a good read off people because everyone treats me like really, really good, which is sweet, and I like, obviously would rather people treat me like that than like shit, but it's hard, it's tricky, you don't know, you can't trust people because when they meet you it's like you're like, god, that guy's cool as fuck, but he could turn around and go be a complete douchebag to the waiter,
right?
Like what the fuck, that's so it is tricky. I mean, I'd rather have people respect me and do shit and be nice to me, but it's hard to know who's fucking cool or who's just fucking sucking my nuts. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? But
I relate to that because I feel like at a certain point I just realized like I have no ability to judge who's a nice person or who I like, because it's just like in the rap world at least or whatever, it's just like a huge percentage of people just have every reason to suck my fucking dick. And dude, it's just like, I don't want to be around that energy. No. Like, I don't want to be around fake people. So it kind of makes me not want to be around, to not like take people seriously, even if they seem perfectly nice. You
dude,
know?
That's a real issue. You keep your circle pretty small, who you hang out with.
Yeah. I ain't doing shit. I'm like a weird ass hermit these days.
Me too. I feel like, which is good for me. When I'm at home and I'm smoking weed, I feel like I'm antisocial. I'm like, I don't really want to go kick it with a bunch of people. I don't really want to go do a bunch of shit. That's why I like weed so much too. Like when I'm back home, if I smoke, I'm like, I can just chill at home tonight, watch fucking Netflix. Dude, I can just chill and no issues. But if I'm not smoking, my natural, like I'm like, let's go do something. Let's go to the park. Let's go do something, which isn't bad. But let's go hang out with people. Let's go out to dinner. What all that shit. But smoking, I'm just like, I'm good with chilling. And I think that's important for me to keep fucking grinding and just chill, be out at my house, fucking not being distracted by chicks and just fucking chilling.
Because yeah, like I agree that it's good for you to like, you know, be like take some time to party and stuff, but also like you kind of know that like, all right, let's say you win all your fights in the next 3-4 years and then you take a bad L, the first thing that your brain's going to be going to is like, I'm not partying, I'm fucking like just gonna grind. Yeah. Like that's gonna be the first thing to go from your schedule. But I mean, as long as you're young and shit too, it's like I feel like there's gotta be some value in not driving yourself crazy by just being a pure monk.
Dude, 100%. The thing about taking an L too is like I feel like I'm in a spot in my mind to where if I lost, it's like it's all about perspective. It's like, dude, like we were talking about earlier, I don't have to go to fucking construction 9 to 5. Like my life's still so fucking good that losing's not that, it won't fuck with me, I don't think. Like some people think it could, I don't know, I've never lost, but the confidence is a real thing. Some people lose and they don't have that confidence going into their next fight. They're like, fuck, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Or who knows where Conor's confidence is now. It's like, he was so confident over those years because he kept knocking people out. He hasn't knocked anyone out since Cowboy Cerrone, who was on like a 5-fight losing streak. So who knows where his mind's at. But yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to guess where someone's mind's at. But
I feel like you're right, though. Like, I think you could handle a loss very well because it seems like you're – I think your mind state is like your biggest asset, to 100%. Be honest. Like, 100%. You just are, you're so calm. I even like, that's why I was asking about like your first UFC fight, because I could tell that you weren't as calm then. Mm-hmm. And like, in comparison to your demeanor of like your most recent fights, it's just like, oh fuck, like this is like a totally different person with a totally different level of confidence.
Yeah. When I walk in that octagon, like obviously I'm fighting Chris Montoya, who it was a short, a late, late replacement, whatever. It didn't matter who it was. When I go into that cage, I feel like I'm the best in the world at 135 pounds. Like, my skill set going into that cage, I'm like, I'm going to beat whoever the fuck's in here. And it's a good confidence feeling. But, yeah, like I said, it comes from those training camps, those 8 weeks of complete mental discipline. It's not, you know, I don't party at all, don't drink at all. It's train, sleep, recover, train, sleep. Like, that's literally 2 months of fucking just pure discipline. But that's where you get that confidence from.
For sure. Appreciate you coming through, man.
Dude, yeah. I'm glad we were able to fucking set this up. It was super short notice.
Yeah. I mean, I did like 13 interviews this week.
Holy
and then
shit.
I was like, bro, like, if you're coming to town, boom. We got to schedule it.
Fuck, I appreciate that. 13?
Yeah, it's been a rough week.
Damn. Dude, no, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. The studio's fucking dope. Dude, this place is badass.
I trust that you're gonna fucking high kick that fly to death once we stand
up.
Dude,
I know. I'm about to fucking smack the wings off this fucker.
For sure, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. And I'm mega looking forward to your next fight.
December.
From here, dude. December.
December's the plan. December in Vegas. I fucking own Vegas. My last 8 fights have been in Vegas.
I'm gonna put every last dollar I have on
it. Dude, yeah. It should be a big fight, dude. It should be a big fight. People have been wanting me to fight someone ranked, someone big name. And I think this next fight should be it. But I don't have control. I mean, the UFC, you know, they pick who I fight. I don't pick who I fight. So we'll see. But fuck yeah, you guys got to go.
Let's fucking go. Sugar Sean, check us out on YouTube. No Jumper. Patreon. I'm fucking it up. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate everybody.
Doses.
My guy.